As Deuteronomy in the 5th chapter is where we'd like to start this morning. And we have a very large subject, and I'm not even going to be able to scratch the surface, I'm sure. But in due time, we know that God will gather peoples, and God will look after peoples, and He will bless them, and He will look after them, and He will instruct them. He will lead them, He will preserve them, He will also save them. And that, however He has transpired or manifested Himself, you know, among many peoples, we have certain records about them. And you know, there may be records there, and I'm sure there are records that we are yet to see. Okay, because I believe that there are peoples in different corners of the earth that he has talked to in the past. We only have certain pieces of the puzzle. And we just know we have a God that has created all these peoples, and He has talked to many people amongst the children of men throughout time. And so we have a record of some of His people called the children of Israel, and they were, in the beginning, they were led into Egypt in order to be able to be preserved. And there was a plan in place in order that this people may be preserved. And there was a great famine, and they were preserved in Israel. But yet they went into bondage, as we all know. And then they were delivered by the hand of the Lord, approximately 400 years later. We read in our studies that Abraham even prophesied at this time, Moses, the forefather of Moses. Abraham was the father of many nations. And prophesied. And he was even the, we think of Father Abraham being just the father of the Israelite nations, but that's not true. There was even those that he was responsible for of the Arab nations too, to his firstborn, Ishmael. And so he was the father of many nations. And he was told to look up and see, asked if he could number the stars of heaven. So shall your seed be, the Lord said. He was surnamed Abraham instead of Abram. Of course, his wife was surnamed Sarah instead of Sarai. But we find that the children of Israel, after being led out of Egypt by a mighty hand, and after the power that was exhibited before and upon Pharaoh and his people, that they were led out, you know, with a mighty hand, and Pharaoh finally let those people go. Basically, God let those people go. It was only a symbolic thing that Pharaoh made that decision, because there's no one that's going to be able to stand before the power of the Lord. And so we find that they were to be led out, and they were going to be gathered, they were going to be instructed. We find that they're going to be given laws, they are going to be shown the power of the Lord in preserving them, in and amongst that they would be obedient unto Him. The Lord was talking to His people. And there's a lot of similitude or a similarity between how He spoke to His people then and how He speaks to us today in a likeness. And I was kind of thinking about that, and I wanted to make some of that relation. In chapter 5, we find, and Moses called all Israel, and he said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them, and keep, and do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not His covenant with our fathers, but with us, even with us who are all here to alive this day. The Lord talked with you face to face in the mount, out of the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to show you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid by reason of the fire and went not into the mount. As a matter of fact, they set a border, and they were told not to go up on that mount. Not even an animal was allowed to go up on that mount, or it would be consumed. It was to be holy, and there was a fire came down out of the mount, and they were instructed. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and thou shalt have none other gods before me. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven or above, or is in the earth beneath, or is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself down unto them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Now, we're going to find that telling them more about his laws, once again, reminding of them of his laws once again. And he will also continue to be telling them of his laws. And many times that when the children of Israel are gathered, they said they will bring the book of the law of the Lord, and they will read it before the people. And they will kindle up that zeal and that fire and that of that service and of that faith and so on, and the things of their remembrance that they should know and should be in remembrance of. They will be reading them again. And the Lord has a plan and a purpose here, because they need to know of his commandments. They need to be reminded of his commandments and so on and so forth. And that's like us today too. That's why we learn, we study, and the Lord appreciates our study to be spoken to out of his word and through his spirit, and to be reminded of things that are good, that are holy, that are just, that are true, and that bring structure and that bring life to people's lives. His sort of life, his sort of structure, you know, because we need structure in our life. You know, he said he's called us unto liberty. We had liberty and freedom of choice, but the freedom to choose and to choose life through Jesus Christ, and that we learn of his commandments, which bring structure. And these are the commandments of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, apart from the old law that the people of Moses were going to come to learn more fully. All those statutes and judgments and feasts and new moons and Sabbaths and sacrifices and so on. And of the circumcision that we were learning about more of this morning. But it's the same thing of you and I. We need to come together to worship, but we read and we study and we converse about the law of the Lord, don't we? That we may be encouraged by it. We may be led by it. We may learn to decide by it. We learn to choose by it. And it's just like what they're being prepared for here. They're going to be going into a land of the heathen, all right, in order to subdue the land, in order to be given a promised land, and it was the land that was promised unto Abraham. And they're going to be going in to subdue that land. There were going to be people there that were going to be, there were going to be heathenists, they were going to be idolatrous, they were going to be involved in such idol worship. And the Lord wanted to make definition between his people and they. And he did not want them to mix in and among, but there needed to be separate. And they needed to know his laws, and they needed to know his power. And he did not want them to get involved in idol worship, because the other thing that the Lord in his almighty wise purposes and plan and so on, he knew these people just came out of Egypt where they had plenty of idols, and they were accustomed to seeing them. What was the first thing they did when they come out of Egypt, when Moses went up into the mount? What was the first thing they turned to? They made a golden calf. And the man that made the golden calf should have known better. And they turned to him to make this calf because Aaron knew the work of the apothecary, or the work of the temple. He knew that type of work. They turned to him and said, "We want you to make us a god of gold that we may be able to see and to know." We don't know about Moses. He's stuck up in the mountain. He's been gone too long. We don't know what's become of him. But this God that's been looking after us, we want something that we can put our hands on. And so the Lord wanted to make separation and tell them of his laws. And he said, "You're not going to bow yourself down to them or worship them," and so on and so forth. You know, and it kind of speaks to us today. What kind of things can we make an idol out of in our own life and in our own homes and our workplaces and so on and so forth? And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. That's a saying yesterday, today, and forever. You'll show mercy unto those that keep his commandments and that are his people. He says, my face is against them that do iniquity. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that take his name in vain. And we know people take that so for granted today that we hear that commonly, and it's almost like we could become numb to hearing that. People may damn this or damn that, so to speak, in God's name. And one people have come really accustomed to using in vain, and that's the name of Jesus Christ. We know that we do not know the name of the God who has no face, his Father. He is a spirit. We know him as Father. We do know his Son, which is the express representation, it says in the scriptures, and that is Jesus Christ. And there's none other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. And that is dear to the heart of the Father. Do not take his name in vain. We hear that so much. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. And of course, we know that the old Jewish Sabbath being the Saturday Sabbath, and that the Christian Sabbath being Sunday, the day of the Lord's resurrection. And we need to take it, you know, as he has commanded them to keep it holy, and to that we come, we worship, we use the day of worship. The ministry of the New Testament church, it was told in references that they met upon the Lord's day. And we should make an effort to meet and to keep it, and to study, and to prayer, and to worship. As they did. They exampled it. But yet, it being a day of picking up the tools of the house of worship and to give to our worship, give our devotion, our love to our Lord, to hear the word of the Lord, and to be one in the body of Christ and all to receive of his holy sacrament. Yes, it is important, and we should make an effort to keep a day set aside. And we should make any effort possible to not go and work on Sunday. There are important things. We need to learn those things. The Lord recognizes those sacrifices in his name. He does recognize those things. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, and if thou shalt do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, the manservant, nor the maidservant, nor thine ox, or thine ass, or any of thy cattle, or thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may prolong, that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, neither shalt thou commit adultery, neither shalt thou steal, neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor, neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, shalt thou cover thy neighbor's house, his field, his manservant, his maidservant, his ox, his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. And you know, we see these things listed as these things. Okay, in their simplistic form, and yet we read of the law of Moses, you know, the law of sacrifices, new moons, and fast Sabbaths, and all those things being fulfilled, and that is true. And the Lord has set us at liberty from apart from those things. But you know, we take a look at the Ten Commandments. Jesus Christ repeated them. He also turned up the heat underneath them. You know why? Because he put the burden of proof not underneath two or three witnesses, that somebody would drag somebody out if they were caught and they would be stoned. But he put the burden of proof upon you and choice, because we're set at liberty. He put the burden of proof upon you, the law of the heart. And that's why he says that the sacrifices of the Lord are these, of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. That is what the Lord accepts. And so he says in verse 22, "These words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount, out of the midst of the fire, in the cloud, and of the thick darkness, with a great voice, and he added no more. And he wrote them in two tables of stone, and delivered them unto me. And it came to pass, when ye heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that ye came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders, and ye said, Behold, the Lord our God hath showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he liveth." You know something that today, many people try to tell you that also, I just make this comment myself, that God doesn't talk to people anymore. He said all he has to say between the covers of the books. Well, I'm here to tell you that that book tells us he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes, he still talks to people. If I reject him and I don't believe, how is he going to talk to me? How am I going to listen? How am I going to accept? Yes, I believe. Yes, I believe angels still do appear. The scripture says so. It says they'll only be done away according to the unbelief of the children of men. There's nothing that said that he has said all he has to say. There's nothing in the word that ever says this. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die. For who is there of all flesh that hath heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as we have and lived? Go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee. And we will hear it and do it. And the Lord heard the voice of your words. And when you speak unto me, and the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto thee, they have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and their children forever. Go say unto them, get you to your tents again. But as for thee, stand thou here by me, and I will speak unto thee all the commandments and the statutes and the judgments, but thou shalt teach them, and that they may do them in the land which I give them to possess it. See, now, once again, he wants to instruct them, because he's going to send these people in, and there are going to be people there that he doesn't want them to mix with. There are people, because of the things that they do, the gods that they have, the traditions that they have, and so on and so forth, that he doesn't want them to mix with. He doesn't want them to intermarry with. And he wanted to provide definition that they would be they are to be a peculiar people, those that worship the one true God, and they keep his commandments. And others would observe that. And you know something? That when the children of Israel were in obedience to the Lord, and they were keeping his commandments, there was a fear amongst all the other nations around them that they knew that the God of Israel was with his people. But I'll tell you what, and when they disobeyed, they were given before their enemies, especially in battle and in pestilence or maybe in plague. They're also a very stubborn people. Are we stubborn here today? We don't need to have a raise of hands, and this is not a confessional. But I'll tell you, I can be. But I need to learn. I need to learn about what humbleness is all about. We read it. We try to learn about it together. But I need to learn more about what humbleness is about the things that are pleasing to the Lord. Verse 32 says, "And you shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and it may be well with you, that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess." You know something? When he says, that you may keep my commandments and that you may live. Now, he wasn't just whistling Dixie there. Because, I mean, when you disobeyed the Lord, there was a fast and a swift judgment. I mean, there was no two ways about it. And he says, my people have sinned against me. And he tells Moses in a couple of spots there, you let me alone now. In other words, you go away. My anger is waxing hot. Look out. What's going to happen? You know, it's going to be fierce. They'll be fine today. You know, then we had this freedom of choice. And we are not condemned under two or three witnesses in that respect and taken out in the street and stoned. But you know something? We can remove ourselves outside of the hand of God's blessing. Look out. Look out. Because there's another entity out there that wants to destroy your soul, that is ready and willing and waiting in order to take your hand and lead you away. You bet your boots. He's ready, willing, and able. And we don't want to give him any time from the pulpit. We won't talk about good things. But they're going to be going in to possess a land, and he wants them to know in acute definition that you are my people. And I believe it's the same as it is today. He wants us to know in acute definition that you are my people. You are the people who have accepted my Son, Jesus Christ. And I want you to be peculiar, and I want you to be different. And I want you to be to those that people will notice and know that you keep my commandments. People will know. Because you honor me in my commandments and my laws and the things that bring blessing to your life and comfort and strength. By doing the things that I have structured for you to follow by choice. And people will know. Like it talks about in the book of Titus. He's purified unto himself a people that are zealous of good works. As a matter of fact, let's take a look. Hold your place in Deuteronomy, but look with me for a moment over in the book of Romans, in the 12th chapter. As a person with choice, and a person that loves God, and a person that is changed, and a person that is a new creature in Christ Jesus. He tells us and gives us the invitation, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God that you present your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We present our bodies before Him in honor, in holiness, in truth, in sincerity, in humbleness, for His consideration, His blessing, you know. And there's something else about presenting your body before the Lord, that it may be inhabited by His everlasting Spirit. That Spirit is a signature of God. It is God's presence within His people. And he tells us in verse 2, and it's just like he was talking unto his people Israel, he's talking to you and I today. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And we prove what that is, perfect and acceptable will of God, through the moving of His Spirit, that deciding force in our life, through the understanding of His Word, by the reading and looking into what His commandments all are. We need to know what they are. We're going to be, you know something, upon Judgment Day, it's another thing too. He says that you're going to be judged according to His Gospel, you're going to be judged according to His Word. It would make good sense to me that we know what it is. and we live according to it, which will bring us blessing and structure and goodness in our life. That we be blessed by it for keeping the laws that we need to know about. You know, there was one comment that I needed to make last night as we were talking about that baby blessing. That not only was God going to be looking after that little child, or was there a way of bringing the little child to Jesus, and that the little child may be blessed, but that it says don't offend these little ones that believe in me. Well, that tells me that they need to be taught about Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That means that parents also need to know about Jesus Christ and know all of His laws, so they can teach little children. So there needs to be a blessing upon the parents and that home where that child's going to be brought up. So there's going to be like a family blessing there, like a package deal. And so that needed to be told, so that child, you know. Remember when the Mark 10:16 talks about they brought little children unto Him. Who brought them? Who brought the children to Jesus? How did they know? How were they brought? Parents brought them to Jesus. They heard about Him. They heard about His goodness, His mercy, and His gospel, and His love. That He may touch them. And He took them up in His arms. He laid His hands upon them, and He blessed them. And He said, don't offend these little ones that believe in me. Well, how did they get to believe in Him? They needed to be taught. So makes good sense that the parents need to know and to learn to understand of His commandments, that they may teach the little children. And then He also says that they need to be humbled as their little children. For of such is the kingdom of God. In chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, if we've held our places there, He's basically talking to them about His statutes and His laws. And just like we read in Romans, not to be conformed to this world, you know. And we got to provide definition. You know, and another thing about that, today, we got to be careful that we acknowledge Jesus Christ. We say we believe in Him, believe in His Father. We say we believe in His gospel. But many people like to integrate things back in from the world. Well, you know, that's okay. We're under liberty now. We can handle those things, and it's freedom of choice. Everything is free and open to us. We can do this, we can do that, and you know, it's okay with the Lord. But you know, there's also many things that are offensive to the Lord, because there are many things that Christians can handle that are number one, a bad example. Number two, that they can be sinful, because they can provide destruction to people's lives. There are people, there are things that Christians can do that are offensive. And they are a form of idolatry and idol worship and covetousness. And so we need to know of His laws, need to be partakers in His Holy Spirit in order to be discerning about what is good, and that we may provide that definition, that we may lean on the side of Jesus Christ, of His ways, instead of man's ways. We can't saddle up the fence. Now these are the commandments, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. He is charging His people. You are going to go in. And you know something? You're going to be seeing things, and I know that you've already seen them, but you're going to be seeing things, and I want you to provide definition, and you better pay attention to what I'm telling you now. It's what the Lord's telling these people. It's the same thing that He tells us. And you know, why would life be taking some effort in the name of Jesus Christ if it doesn't say in Ephesians 6 to use a helmet, a sword, a shield, and girt your loins and all those things? You see, that it would take some effort to live by faith unto endurance. We cannot proclaim ourselves a Christian and all of a sudden pronounce ourselves all virtuous and all fully armed. I think we're just whistling in the dark if we think that. But it takes some effort to live by faith unto endurance. It takes some effort, and we need every scrap of armament and help that the Lord can help to provide us. Because you know something? It's worth it. Because it's beautiful. And it's wonderful. His gospel is wonderful. And that crown of life that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, is worth it. The kingdom of heaven is worth it. To live with Him forever. In a state of perfection and of holiness. Singing praises as such are the angels. So I tell you now, and I want to hear you sing a little louder. We're in choir practice. We want to be singing with the angels. And we're not going to have a show of hands, but I can assume very surely that that's where you want to be too. We are in choir practice. And people say, you know, I can't sing. David, you know, and this and that. Well, you listen, the Lord listens to my caterwauling. And the Lord hears you from here. We sing with our faith. And he says, that thou mightest fear the Lord, verse 2, thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. I'm going to tell you what, there's some real life commandments that the Lord has in His New Testament gospel that your life may be prolonged here upon this earth. Now, we're not guaranteed any peace of time, but that there are many things that are life-saving skills about His commandments for the structure of life that He wants you to live. There are real life-saving skills. There are sinful places and sinful things we can be involved in that are a real life peril. And the Lord says, you stay away from those things. You abstain from those things. They are a real life-saving skill, the gospel of Christ. He tells us how to live life in His design. I want to preserve you physically. I want to preserve you spiritually. I want to save you. And so listen to what I have to say, he tells us. Hear therefore, O Israel, verse 3, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Does that pertain just to them at that time, or does that pertain to us today too? Oh, absolutely. Well, all time. Lord, the love thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Who told us that in the New Testament? Jesus Christ. Same thing. And He's the one that He gave this law also. Unto them. He says, I am the one that covenanted with my people Israel. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be frontlets between thine eyes. They're going to need the Word of God is a living and breathing, powerful document that needs to be adhered to. The Lord expects us to know of His words, know of His commandments, know of His laws. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, unto Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. They're going to go and subdue this land. We're going to find out that Israel was not very obedient in many things that they were commanded to do. But the houses were full all of good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten be full. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. when Israel was in Egypt and they were released and they were freed, it was the Lord's plan that they not remain in bondage, and He heard the cries of His children, didn't He? And they were released. It is not the Lord's plan today that His people be in bondage, the bondage and the chains of sin today. And He wants, and we are set at liberty through Jesus Christ, that we may and not be entangled therein again. But to keep His law of liberty and choice and freedom and blessing. Not be entangled again with the habitual haranguing of sin by the evil one that is more than willing in order to provide it. So thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him, and shalt swear by His name. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the other people which are round about you. You know, are those things there today? I would have to bet they're probably in more abundance today. There are things that are accepted in this country, and we were set up as a Christian nature we never thought would be here. There are things they were given a freedom of religion. Today we almost, I'm not trying to be funny, sometimes freedom from religion is what they're trying to promote. They give tax-exempt status to so-called religions that are blatantly anti-Christ and destructive. And those that were given power and credence in this country that was founded by Jesus Christ, they're an abomination. There are things that this people should be a Christian nation that are doing, that are laws that are upholding such things. They're an abomination before Him. They're those that are destroying innocent life today. That are an abomination before Him. And the Lord is going to rain down a justice. I believe that, whatever you may think about it, and if you've ever seen Washington's vision, but there's a third wave of it. And when he claimed he seen the war they were in, the Revolutionary War, he claimed he seen the war between the states, and there's a war yet to come. And we will only survive if we turn unto Jesus Christ once again. That's the only way. And that is yet to come. And we are giving into weakness at this time in the name of freedom of choice. And we are tempting the Lord. We are tempting the Lord. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. And in the Book of Mormon talks about the third book of Nephi, but at that day if the Gentiles shall sin against my gospel, the sword of my justice hangeth over them. And believe you me, that's there, and that's where we're at today. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he has commanded thee. Thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. Once again, you see here who he is talking to and what he was talking to them about. But we see a shadow of that is what is to come, don't we? We see a schoolmaster of where we are today. And we see these same things. We will reap as the chaff in the whirlwind if we do not obey his commandments. We are in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and not in the old law. But we find that the zeal and the fervor and the statute to keep his commandments are just as powerful and just as plain. But they are by choice. And it is a wondrous and a glorious choice. And a blessing. And he says that the windows of heaven will be opened up and pour you out a blessing, there will not be room enough to contain it. Yes, he loves his children. Verse 19, to cast out all thine enemies before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord has brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed us signs and wonders and great sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. We each of us have a testimony, you know, when we were in our sacrament services. We have a testimony of God's blessing and power and mercy and grace to us, how he's looked after us. Many people have a testimony where he preserved them, where they were in peril, they were in calamity, they were in life-threatening conditions. I've heard these things from you, and you've heard these things from me, and the Lord has preserved us by a mighty hand, as he said here in verse 21, to the children of Israel. The Lord's power is among us today. We need to realize it, believe in it, and rely upon it. And he says here, what about when your son asks you about these things? Why do you do them? The Lord says, I require you to tell them the testimonies of these things. Not only there was going to be a generation here. Remember, there was only two that went over to possess the land of the original generation, wasn't there? The rest of them didn't know and didn't hear and didn't see what happened back in Egypt. And the Lord said, I'm expecting you and I'm requiring of your hand to tell them and to testify of me and testify of my laws and my judgments, that they may observe them and they may do them. You know, we have that same sort of a charge to us today. And when we know that we may falter sometimes and things like that, where we are required to tell these testimonies to one another and to our children, to teach them of the God that created them, how divinely special they are, that how intricate their bodies are. The complexity of the human body is beyond imagination, and surely it is a work of art. And if there is a work of art, there is an artist and a creator to that work of art. It testifies of the very face of God, in whom we are made in His image. We are to do these for our children, and it says that a child left to themselves bringeth the mother to shame. We cannot leave them to themselves. You know my children know. You know, not only do they know that I'm stubborn, that I'm ornery, but they also know that my hand should not be off their shoulder all the way through their life. And I'll always have my opinion. Number one, I'm a father, and that never goes away. Number two, you know, I obey the words of the Lord. And they should always have our testimony before them. The Lord requires it. He will require it of us. You know, they can tell me to keep my opinion to myself, but it's not that I haven't tried or haven't spoken that. And many times, hopefully it's been in good taste. That's what I'm... Sometimes, you know, they may think, oh, you're just a silly old man. And then there are other times when life comes around, they think, you know, the old man ain't so stupid after all. You know, I remember testimonies of my own father. I remember one where you've heard this from me before, when we were working outside a house on some siding. And I don't know what I was thinking. And then my uncle was in the house doing the wiring. Dad and I were working on siding, and things weren't going so well. We were both kind of frustrated. And I said, Dad, you just got to listen to me here. My uncle poked his head out the door, and he was just itching to say something. He said, Ken, you want a piece of 2x4 for use out there? I probably needed it. And the Lord showed us signs and wonders, and great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. You know something? We could sit here all day and for days talking about our testimony where the Lord has shown us great and wonderful things in the preservation of our children and our lives. And there are those in our midst we know have even beheld angels. I have my own testimonies, and I'm sure you do too. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in and give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God he hath commanded us. And he said he's preserved unto himself a people that are zealous of good works. And we find that if we step out in faith and we observe to do those things that he asks of us by choice and by love, and then, you know, as he touches our heart. And the more you read and the more you observe, and you come to understand that it was the power of God itself that drew you to the side of Jesus Christ. He says, no man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And it says, if we love him, my Father will love him. And we will come unto him, and we will make our abode with him. And talking about the presence of the Holy Spirit. And this day that we are to stand in faith. And as Moses and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and they may have been patriarchs under their people. They were people looked up to with strength that the Lord had used in their faithfulness. And we look unto the brother of Jared and of Nephi and of Lehi, where the Lord used within their faith, with their diligence, with their obedience. And we have those we have with us today. We have pillars in this church today. In this local, we have pillars. Those who look to for strength, that have been stable and that have been steadfast and immovable in keeping the commandments of the Lord. They're good examples to us. And each of us need to be that strength in our homes. And you know something? Sometimes it's the father in the home, but not always. And you know, in many times we see in the scriptures in the New Testament church, there were a lot of wonderful ladies. They were the backbones of many locals. But no matter what the case, that each of us, you know, we have our fathers, our mothers, uncles, grandma and grandpa that I can look back to in my family. But you know, my faith needs to stand alone. My faith needs to stand by itself. Those people have gone on to whatever reward the Lord has prepared for them. But today, and because they may leave and they may go on to their reward, I cannot falter, and neither can you. Each of us, our faith needs to stand alone that we may be able to endure. And that is the truth. Now, Lord, we may have those of a particular strength and of gift and so on that the Lord has blessed us with, but our faith needs to stand alone in ourselves and Jesus Christ and the Father. And so, the Lord gives us wonderful examples. Now it's put upon my heart that he had not only led and prepared and preserved a people, as he did thousands of years ago, the children of Israel. Once again, we're heirs of adoption. It was a schoolmaster for us to learn from this example and from the Lord's power that is yet available today in his love and his mercy. So I thank you for your time, your love, and your prayers.